This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 12, 2015. Divine Mercy Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
This is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We find ourselves today on Divine Mercy Sunday. There are many different aspects that we can hit and expound upon the divine mercies, the fathomless mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want to specifically point to today is that little phrase, that very succinct, brief phrase on all the images of the divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Throughout the readings today, all of them, there is this emphasis on belief. Belief is a synonym for trust. I mean, if you Google belief or trust and look under synonyms, the converse word will be there. So it is a synonym. But the thing that you have to understand about this trust that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, because there's a lot of people out there that say, yeah, I have a trust in Jesus. Guess what? That's a noun. All right? It's a noun. Our Lord is not speaking of a noun faith. Our Lord is speaking of a verb faith. Our faith is an action. Our faith, our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ is a life lived, not stuff known. Unfortunately, in our day and age, there are a bunch of folks who congregate in churches of various and sundry types, and they will speak of this noun faith, what they understand, what this is. That's not, again, the trust that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's really kind of a simple definition when you talk about the verb trust. That is a belief in the reliability, in the truth, ability, and strength of something. So to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ is to understand that He is reliable. Absolutely reliable. To understand beyond reason that the truth that He provides for us is absolute truth. Not conjecture, but truth. That our Lord Jesus Christ has the ability to do what He says and also the strength to provide you the grace to do what He says. Said in the first John reading today, that to love our Lord Jesus Christ is to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. They are not burdensome for those who trust and believe in Him, because John chapter 15 comes to fruition for us. John chapter 15, it says, without Him we can do nothing. It doesn't say, without Him you can't do really holy things. It doesn't say, without Him you can't do some things. It says, without me, you can do nothing. I do things all the time. Nothing that glorifies Him. Nothing that manifests a trust in Him. So whenever you see an image of the divine mercy, whenever you see that, and you see that little Jesus, I trust in you, understand that it is something that is expected of you. And no matter what circumstance you find yourself, is a trust, a belief in the reliability, truth, and ability, and strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is an aspect of what we have to understand about our Lord Jesus Christ before you can trust in Him. Okay? Our belief is not a speculation. 1 John chapter 5, for those who keep notes on things like that. That was the second reading today. I quote from 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. That's the litmus test. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. So there is another side to that coin. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are not born of God. There are folks that are members of monotheistic religions. Everybody likes to embrace, oh, it's a monotheistic religion. So what? So what? If it denies that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of God, then it is negligible because they have not been born of God. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one whom God sent for our salvation, to have this active belief, this trust in Jesus Christ. Again, it's a belief. It's not a speculation. It's a living and working faith. That's the trust of which our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to St. Faustina. That's why it's there on those images. Jesus, I trust in you. Because when you trust in him, you overcome the world, as it says in 1 John chapter 5. Now, world's one of those kind of things you really need to get a grasp on the definition also, because the world is used several different ways in Scripture. For instance, John 3:16, so God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we speak of the world in that sense, he's talking about the created order and the creatures therein. When he made everything, he said, everything is very good. It was very good. Guess who messed it up? Not him, us. We messed it up. We messed it up. He created it very good, and he loves it so much that he wants to fix it. He wants to fix us. He wants us to overcome the world as it's used in this context, and it is used pejoratively. It is a contempt and a disapproval spoken of by the Holy Spirit through St. John of the world. Why would he speak disapprovingly or contemptuously of the world? He's speaking of the world as it is opposed to the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the world of which St. John the Divine speaks. We have to understand that in our faith, in our trust in Jesus Christ, we have overcome the world. There's another test that he gives us in 1 John, and I quote, who is it that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Brothers and sisters, that is very explicit, very explicit. He that has overcome the world believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It doesn't suffice that you believe that he was a great teacher, that he was a sage prophet. You need to believe for your salvation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And there are monotheistic religions that deny that, that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So they have not overcome the world. When we accept and trust in Jesus Christ, that is accepting Christ in his true character. And his true character is the second person of the Divine Trinity, undivided, the Son of God, who came and dwelt among us, took on our flesh to live a sinless life that we could not, and to merit our way into heaven that we could not. That is the Jesus Christ in whom we trust. That is the only Jesus Christ in whom you can trust for your eternal salvation. That's the theology behind the whole thing. The Gospel of John kind of shows an integration of the theology behind it and the practical trust. Two things primarily we see in that gospel reading today. The sacraments and doubt. One, and specifically the sacrament of reconciliation. When our Lord Jesus Christ breathes the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and says, whosoever sins you will forgive, they will be forgiven. Whoever sins you will retain, they will be retained. If we have a fervent trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, a living and an active belief in him, that definition of trust and belief that I pointed out before, then our Lord Jesus Christ is reliable in what he says, that it is absolute truth. when he says to his apostles, giving them authority and power to remit and retain sins, for us to doubt when we walk in the confessional, it's a travesty. Because you are denying that what Jesus Christ has said is truth. You deny his ability to provide the grace to his apostles and the strength to his apostles for them to remit and forgive sin. That is a doubt. It's like, how many people that you know of, I know no one in here, that all these friends that you have that attend Mass even regularly, oh, I don't buy into that transubstantiation thing. Okay, you know, no. That's still bread and wine. No, it isn't. Once the words of consecration are said, there is no more bread and wine left. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. This is my body. This is my blood. Not this is my body, this is my blood in a spiritual or an analogous sense. No. That's the only truth that anyone ever left Jesus Christ when he proclaimed it. In his earthly ministry, people used to gather around our Lord Jesus Christ and listen to what he said, hear his teachings. We never have any indication that anyone ever left over anything but that truth. If you do not eat my flesh and you do not drink my blood, you do not have life in you. And they got up and left. And our Lord Jesus Christ didn't say, hey guys, I was speaking spiritually. I was using an analogy. Come on, come back. He looks at the ones who stayed and said, are you going to leave too? You have the words of eternal life. That was the response. They didn't get it, just like we didn't get it. But it is truth nonetheless. They trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ and what he said. For us to doubt the sacraments, the efficacious nature, they're affected at the work, the fact that they work ex opere operato, just because of what they are. Not what you think about them. They are just what they are because our Lord Jesus Christ says that. That is trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is true belief in him. That is an active faith. When you can walk away and go, I don't get it, but I know that's the truth. That's why intelligent people are sitting here right now. We cannot doubt these things. That's the other part of John's Gospel, the doubt of Thomas. You know, it's really easy for us to wag our heads at him. Can you believe that? Guy walked with our Lord for years and saw him raise people from the dead. He raised people from the dead. He cured people that had never walked their entire life. I've seen him do that, and I trust my brothers, the apostles. They tell him, we've seen the Lord. Unless I put my finger in the holes in his hands and run my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. It's easy to wag your head at him. We do the same exact thing. We, not us, we generally, do the same thing when we doubt transubstantiation. When we doubt that we are absolved in the confessional. We do not trust. You do not believe if those are questions in your mind. Granted, there's an aspect of faith. It's not like sitting in that pew, as I always say. That takes no faith. It's there. We need faith. He expects faith of us. That is this trust about which he spoke to St. Faustina. That's why it's on the image, Jesus, I trust in you. Because it's just not theology. And then right there, again, I said, there's an integration of theology and practice. But when we truly trust and we truly believe in him, it manifests itself in our lives. You cannot help it. You cannot help it. His grace exudes from your very being. The faith pours out of you. The book of Acts today. Prime example. Acts chapter 4. Four verses. We read four verses from Acts chapter 4 today. And it speaks of three things primarily. Unity, charity, and witness. This that was exposed and expressed to us back then is what happens when you have a true faith, a true trust, a true belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. It manifests itself in our lives. It manifests itself here in this world. Now the company of those who believed was of one heart and one soul. One heart and one soul. There was not intramural debates among them. Well, you believe this, but I don't believe that. You believe in transubstantiation, but I don't, you know, I don't really buy into that. You know, we go to the church because I like the music. No, they were all of one heart and of one soul. They were all in complete agreement. They all gathered together in agreement and in one heart and in one soul. They didn't go to this building over here and that building over there. Well, that's okay for them. They believe that. That's okay for them to believe that. Contradictory to what you hear a whole lot nowadays, he is very particular. He is very specific on what he expects you to believe about him. When our Lord Jesus Christ was with his apostles, he looked at them and said, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am?" Notice our Lord didn't say, "Well, you know, that's just where they are right now. That's okay." No, he looks up, "Who do you say that I am?" "You. Who do you say that I am?" Peter responds, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To use a Monday night Catholic term for around this parish. Bingo, Peter. You got it, Peter. That's the answer. Not I'm a great sage, a prophet, none of that. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's belief. And our Lord emphasizes to Peter that that's what you need to believe about him. Being of one mind with that. And if there's something that differentiates, that is not truly our Lord Jesus Christ. It was so pervasive in their life, they had everything in common. They sold everything they had and put it in one kitty and had it divvied out among everybody. Guess what, folks? That is not a scriptural warrant for communism. Okay? Nowhere in that passage does it say, "Thou shalt put all your stuff in a kitty and distribute it to everyone." That would be really great and glorious if we did or could, but guess what? It's not prescriptive. It's descriptive. It's describing to us how much faith and trust these folks had in their Lord and in his appointed apostles, that they trusted them with absolutely everything they owned. Everything. They had it all in common. And then it goes on to say, when this is manifest to the world, that with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our lot as his disciples. We are to powerfully, the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaim the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We just came out of Easter. Easter is not a time in which, once a year, let's bring to memory an event that happened in history. No, that is not why we have Easter. We have Easter because our Lord Jesus Christ lives. Jesus Christ is not a figure of the past. When we speak of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not like speaking of George Washington or any other historical personage. That's not what it's about. We worship and we bring to mind once a year the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ because he is not a figure of the past. Our Lord lives. He lives right now. That same Jesus Christ that walked out of that tomb is in heaven right now making intercession for us. He is present with us in his body, the church. He is present in his priesthood. He is present in the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Objectively, just like he was in the manger. And he is the same. Always. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our circumstances change. Our outlooks change. We are at the beck and the women will of this life. You can be up here one moment, spiritually, then something happens, or you delve into something you ought not, and you could be down here spiritually. He never changes. That is the beauty and the glory of this true and active trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we trust in one who never changes. For those of you who are in your teens or early 20s, it's a really nifty thing. Enjoy it right now, because when you start hitting your 50s and 60s, things start to change just in your very being. Okay, things are not what they were. Just in our lives, things deteriorate. In our spiritual life, it's the same thing. But if we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, when the things change in our spiritual life, we can, as opposed to our physical beings, we can lift ourselves up again. And it's not, I shouldn't say it that way, it's not we who lift ourselves up, but our Lord Jesus Christ who lifts us up. God is always the same, and we need to have a faith that is the same. The same as that of the apostles. Not in the context, again, of putting everything in a kitty. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, you see the works that I do, you will do greater works if you have faith, if you believe, if you trust. I wish the church now was like it was back in the day. You know why it's not? Because of a lack of faith and a lack of trust. That is why. That is the only reason why. It's not his fault, it's ours. You can fix that. You can fix that by fostering this true and active trust and love and belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you do that, then that last verse of the Gospel of John comes to fruition for each and every one of us. Talking about these truths that our Lord Jesus Christ has presented to us through his Holy Spirit. It says, and I quote, these truths are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.